Well, yesterday I described the two kinds of resurrection narratives, the ones that seem to antedate the ones to the apostles, and then the apostolic ones. So we've got these two disciples, on the way to Emmaus. We have the women, and they have an apparition which is quite distinct from the one to the apostles, which is, we'll see in the upcoming days, is really one of a theophany, God appearing. And of course they recognize, Jesus in the wounds of crucifixion through this theophany which they see. And in these cases, with the women and with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, we see that they have this, Jesus is really trying to get them to recognize him in their hearts. He doesn't want them to recognize, oh, it's Jesus, the one we saw before. He can appear any way he wants to appear. And this time, of course, he does the same thing that he did to Mary Magdalene that we saw in John's gospel. This time he comes nonchalantly, and they don't recognize him at all. He appears in a different way, in a different form, and of course he kind of saddles up to these guys on their journey, and what are you guys discussing? And everything is very ordinary, nothing extraordinary at all. Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard the news? And of course, what sort of things? What are you guys talking about? And so of course he goes, these disciples, go on to tell them, and then that phrase that just really gets you. We were hoping that he would be the one to come and redeem Israel, which of course means he dashed our hopes. We're just sitting here. We can't believe that all these things have transpired, and look at it's what happened to us. So of course, Jesus continues on his way, and he begins reeling them in. Well, haven't you read what's been said about the Messiah and the apostles? And of course, he's unpacking all these scriptures and everything else. And as they later relate, their hearts are burning within them as he's doing all these things. But he's constantly relating it back to, of course, that the Messiah is going to be different from the one who people expected. The Messiah is going to have to be the one that's going to have to suffer, all right? It's not just going to be, an easy Messiahship where Christ is just going to come and, take over things and throw the Romans out of Israel and give people eternal life. No, he's going to defeat the devil by dying for us in an act of unconditional love. So, of course, he's unpacking all these things, and these guys are probably thinking, wow, this guy, how does he know all this stuff, And of course, then Jesus feigns to go further, Now he's really got him reeling in, And, of course, by the time, they've gone along quite a ways, Jesus said, I'm going further, and they go, no, you got to stay with us tonight. There is the point of the conversion. They invite him into the house, which is what we have to do. Jesus doesn't want to come where he's not wanted. And of course, they want him. He's got them hooked. They completely are immersed in what he's doing. He's revealing all these truths to them. They know he's someone who can just make a huge difference in their lives, so they invite him into the house. And once he's invited into the house, he gives the revelation and the breaking of the bread, the sure sign of the manifestation of the Holy Eucharist, the presence of the risen Christ in the Eucharist. And at the very moment he breaks the bread, of course they see him as he really is. And when they do, they recognize him and he vanishes. But that's the way Jesus operates. He kind of gets us hooked. He kind of gets us right as we're traveling along in our ordinary lives. There might be a program we're listening to, a person that we're listening to, right? A friend that we're listening to, or something that we see, or an insight that we get, or a book that we read, or whatever it might be, right? We're just kind of going along, and all of a sudden, we're kind of, you know, enticed and fascinated, and we kind of follow along, right? And of course, as you know, these kind of hints and clues, they line up, right? And they begin to line up, and they're pointing to Jesus. They're pointing to the one. And of course, we want to know more. So of course, we invite Jesus into our hearts because we do want to know more. We want to read more. We want to find out more. We can't get enough of the truth. We can't get enough of Jesus. And at some critical venture, some critical point, when we've ventured far enough, when we've gotten to the point where, you know, we've invited the Lord in, he does in fact reveal himself in some way to us, which is, I would call, unmistakably Jesus. And that might happen through another human being. It can happen through a miracle in our lives. It could happen in a variety of, you know, different ways, from, you know, what I would call the hint and clues all the way to the, you know, kaboom, here I am. But in some way, we know he's been present all along. He is risen as he promised, and he is manifest in his risen life in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, that we celebrate today. This is the way of Jesus, the way of the heart. Amen.